Well, it's good to be here with you. It's the first time to be in Shelbyville that I know of. It's definitely the first time to be in your church. And I look forward to the journey we will have for however long it will be. You know, with COVID, everything has changed. I was supposed to be in another district, but then that pastor there was going to Africa, and then COVID hit, so he couldn't go to Africa, so he's still in his district. And so I've had the privilege of being in Anderson this year. That's where I originally was, and then I went to Marion and Marco, and now I'm here, and also I'll be serving in Irvington. And so we'll see where the future goes with this, but I'm looking forward to the journey. It's good to know different people. I've seen some of you maybe at camp meeting, I think, walking around. You know, I've been in this conference now about 7 years. I'm the health director, and also I work with camp meeting, trying to make sure everything physically is set up, you know, before and during and then afterwards. So anyway, so it's good to serve the Lord in whatever capacity he gives us. By the way, my name is Lee Whitman, if you don't have a bulletin. My family is not here. I have two kids that are working at the camp. And today they're at Cicero, I believe, at least this afternoon, doing a program. They're doing virtual camp. That's kind of a unique thing, but anyway, so my two other kids, younger kids, I think are going to go over and going to participate in that this afternoon. My wife's a nurse in Indianapolis. That's mainly where she works, but she also works in Anderson for now, too, so her plate is full of taking care of us and doing nursing, and she works ER, so, you know, she is on the front line for sure. But the Lord has kept her safe in the journeys and also while she's at work. And I pray a lot for her, you know, that the Lord will keep her safe. I think, is it Chase? Is that you're getting the biopsy this next week? I'll be in prayer for you, brother. I know it's, like you mentioned, it's not the most, wouldn't be the first thing you choose to do, you know, but you know, the Lord's going to be with you. You've got good family, I'm sure, around you, and God loves you. And so, but I'll be in prayer for you, and I'll look forward to hearing the results. Maybe I think I come back in 2 weeks. So it's every other week. I think there's a way it works. Well, I want to wish each of you a happy Independence Day. Back a few weeks ago, one of my hobbies is frisbee golfing. Anybody ever heard of that? Disc golf, as we, or diehards are, we call it disc golf. Not ball golf, but disc golf. Well, one of the guys was telling me, he says, I'm getting married on July 4th, I believe he said. And I says, well, that's not Independence Day for you, that's Dependence Day. You're going to have to depend on each other, you know. You're moving from independence to dependence. So that's a good way to remember your anniversary, I guess. So at least the husband shouldn't forget ever. When he sees the fireworks go off, he's like, oh, yeah, something happened on this day. So the citizens of the United States, we've always been interested in freedom. That's why we came to this great country. And we like to protect our freedoms. I've been to some countries where freedom was limited. I've held meetings in Cuba. You may have heard of that place. It's communist, but they do allow some freedom. So back a few years ago, I got to go down there. You had to be careful what you said. They told us that one lady, she was talking with her husband back in the States. She had come to Cuba to do some meetings, and she had said something that was, the government's always listening. And so before basically she was done, they were on their way to take her and kick her out of the country. You know, there weren't any, you know, freedoms at a speech. And so, and I lived in South Korea for a few years. They have semi-freedom, but because of the communist North, they have to be limited in their freedoms. And so I am thankful to live in a free country. Now, I mean, we do pay taxes, we got issues going on, but I'd rather have these issues than have to deal with some of the things that other countries are dealing with. So I'm thankful that we have the freedoms we do. You ever heard of the Liberty Bell? Why is it called the Liberty Bell? Well, on the side, there is an inscription, and let me share with you. By the way, if you ever want to go visit, it's in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And it bears this message, which I think is good for us to remember. It says this, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." You think, well, that's a neat statement. It is actually a quote from Leviticus 25, verse 10. So it's amazing. Are we called to go and proclaim liberty to all? Isn't that, as Christians, isn't that our job? Jesus says, go ye therefore, right? And that great gospel commission in Matthew 28, we are about going and proclaiming liberty, liberty from sin and the habits that enslave people. We, too, are about to enter into a truly free land. You know, you think the United States is free? Well, you know, sometimes nowadays you think, well, I don't know. But, you know, we are free. We are truly free. But we are about to enter a truly free land called heaven. And I hope that when you wake in the morning or sometime throughout the day, try to remember that we're about to go home. Amen. You know, this is not our home. You know that old song, "This world is not my home"? I'm just a what? Passing through, right? We're just passing through. Let's remember that. Please turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 61, verse 1. You'll find that I do like to use the Bible a lot. So I hope that you have an electronic version or a paper version, whatever version you have. I want you to turn there with me. You know, God's Word, when we read it, it is power, is it not? And so I think the more we spend time in God's Word, the more powerful lives we will live, the more victories we'll receive. Isaiah 61:1 says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings." What are we to preach? "Good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. And listen to this, "to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Are people bound today? They are, aren't they? We may not see the chains or the bars that hold them in, but we are living in a land of bounded people. They're bound up with habits and different things that are going on in their lives. Isaiah 58, verse 6. Let's go back a few chapters. Isaiah 58, verse 6. "Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke." You know, some in the Old Testament times say, oh yeah, we fast, we haven't eaten in 2 or 3 days. You know, they focused on that. Even in the New Testament, you know, Jesus had to get on to the religious leaders. They were bragging about all the things they were doing. What is our job as Christians? Is it just to show up to church on the weekend? Maybe to prayer meeting if we're lucky? You know, nowadays prayer meeting seems to be going by the wayside. But our real calling is to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke. Now, we can do that in many different ways. Maybe you're doing a cooking class, you know, or a stop smoking seminar. Or maybe you're just sharing with somebody at the grocery store, you know, that, hey, sister or brother, you know, God will help you with that. Then pray for them. You know, we miss a lot of opportunities, just off-the-cuff type things, where you're at the gas station, at the grocery store, just wherever you may be. You need to be on call. Minute men and women, that's what we need to be. Sometimes we just wait for the big event. But the big event happens every day. Anytime you meet someone, that's a big event. When we personally experience God's freedom, what are we to do with it? We're to share it with others, right? Let others know they can be free. In the book called The Desire of Ages, it says this. I love this quote. "There are many who need the ministration of loving Christian hearts." You know, we think, well, we got to go out and tell them all about the truths. Well, the truths are important. But if you don't have a loving Christian heart first, all those truths won't matter. They're not connected with a person. Well, there are many who need the ministration of loving Christian hearts. Many have gone down to ruin who might have been saved if their neighbors, common men and women, had put forth personal effort for them. You know, it doesn't take much to put forth personal effort. Hey, Mary, how you doing? You know, that's one of my neighbors. You can talk with them. If you live in a neighborhood, you can walk around. Now, maybe some of you live out in the country where your next neighbor is 5 miles down the road. I don't know. But you can still make neighbors. Wherever you go, you can find a neighbor. Many are waiting to be personally addressed, the quote goes on to say, in the very family, the neighborhood, the town where they live, there is a work for us to do as missionaries for Christ. How many missionaries do we have here? Everyone should raise your hand, from the youngest to the oldest. You young people are missionaries too. All of us are missionaries. We never retire from that. It's never too young. If we are Christians, this work will be our delight. No sooner is one converted than there is born within him or her a desire to make known to others what a precious friend they have found in Jesus. The saving and sanctifying truth cannot be shut up in their heart. You ever had such good news you had to share it with somebody? You know, maybe you got a package in the mail you had not expected. And I remember when I was living in South Korea, I was just starting to date my current wife. She wasn't my wife then. She sent me a box. And guess what was in that box? Something you would never expect. And there was a little note in there. She says, I don't know if you have fall in Korea. She sent me a box of fall leaves. I thought, that's pretty cool, you know. And so I had to share it with others. And I'm still sharing it nowadays. It's like, wow. You know, when we have the good news of Jesus Christ in our hearts and our lives, it should excite us because we have been freed. You know, we live a full life now in Christ, and we need to let others know about that. You know, surely others need to know. There are plenty of them around. Are you let freedom ring in your lives, the freedom that you found in Christ? Are you letting others know about that? Are you sharing it? We need to make the salvation of souls our number one priority. Do others know Christ? That needs to be in our hearts, a burden. We are to live to save souls. What are we to do? Live to save souls. Not to guard our feelings or our reputation. Oh, he says this about me or that. You know, we get our feelings hurt sometimes. Sometimes our feelings are out on our sleeves. Should not be our number one goal. Our number one goal is to save souls. As we become interested in the salvation of souls, we cease to mind the little differences that so often arise in our association with one another. You know, if a church is full of backbiting and problems, all you have to do is get them interested in saving souls. And all of a sudden, these minor things are like, that doesn't matter. Guess what? We're going to go out and witness to somebody. We're going to share the love of Christ. You know, our focus changes, doesn't it? When we have something good to live for, some of these other things, they're minor. You know, sometimes you do have to deal with issues. But really, your number one issue is to share Christ with others. There is a benefit of sharing Christ with others. Let me share another one with you. A working church is a growing church. Amen. You probably heard that quote before. A working church, working to save souls, is a growing church. The members find a stimulus and a tonic in helping others. There are many ways you can help others. I don't know what this church does. I'm learning. You know, you might have some different things going on. But there are all kinds of ways to help others. Let's use our imagination. Let's think outside the box even. Sometimes we get ourselves boxed in. Well, the world's unboxed, so we need to become unboxed some. Find out, what does your community need? What does your neighbor need? Pray, ask God to give you direction. Don't just shoot in the dark. Say, Lord, give me wisdom. Give us wisdom. I remember reading this story of about a man who was journeying on a winter's day through deep drifts of snow. And he became numb with cold, which was freezing him to death, literally. He was nearly chilled to death and was about to give up the struggle for life when he heard the moans of a fellow traveler who was also perishing with cold. His sympathy was aroused, and he determined to rescue him. He chafed the ice-cold limbs of the unfortunate man, and after considerable effort, raised him to his feet. As the sufferer could not stand, he bore him and sympathizing in his arms through the very drifts that had been difficult for he himself just minutes before. It was difficult for him to go through, but now he found new energy. When he had carried his fellow traveler to a place of safety, the truth flashed upon his mind that in saving his neighbor, he had saved himself. That's true for us too. You know, we mentioned this in Sabbath school. You know, when we're sharing with others, guess what it does? It returns in a blessing upon ourselves. The lesson that in helping others, we ourselves receive help must be urged upon young believers, not believe all believers, continually, by precept and example, that in their Christian experience they may gain the best results. Let the desponding ones, those disposed to think that the way to eternal life is just trying and difficult, go to work to help others. Such efforts, united with prayer for divine light, will cause our own hearts to throb with a quickening love. And so, you know, as we help others, guess what? Our hearts start beating. You say, man, my Christian experience isn't what it should be. We all realize that, don't we? Then the best way, the best remedy is to share with others. Let's go back to our opening text for today, a text found in John 8:36. John 8:36. It's the freedom text. Starts out with the word if. What does that mean when you hear the word if? That means you can do it or you may not do it, right? We have a choice. If the Son, therefore, shall make you, what's that next word in my version? It says, free. Guess what? You shall be free indeed. There is no better freedom than in Christ, right? Do you want freedom? Draw close to Christ. When you study your Bible every day, look for a different picture of Christ, a different angle of Christ. Look for a better understanding of Christ. Too often our studying of the Bible turns into, well, I've got to read my 3 chapters for today, tick, I got that. It should never be that way, although it sometimes is. We should always look to understand Christ better, who he is and what he wants me to be. Draw close to Christ daily. Here's another blessing that we receive when we center our lives on God. 1 Corinthians 15:57. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through who? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. When you draw close to Christ, he gives you victory. When your eyes are on him, you will live a victorious life. You will live a fulfilled life, a free life from sin. Galatians 5:1 talks about liberty. Let's turn there. Galatians 5, verse 1. There are so many freedom texts in the Bible. It's amazing. You know, but yet it isn't. Because what is this world? It's a world of sin. And God's trying to free us, is he not? Free us from the devil. All right, for Galatians 5:1 says this, stand fast. I mean, don't move. Stand fast. Therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You know, about a day or two ago, I was out in the backyard, and I don't know why. We have a dog and a cat, and they can get out in the backyard, but it's fenced in. Well, somehow I stepped in something that I shouldn't have, but I didn't realize until I walked halfway through the house. And it didn't smell good. Yeah, you don't get the picture. And so I had to go through and backtrack, and I got these wipes, and I was wiping from the back door, all the way down. I went down in the basement even, and I was wiping everything down. And, you know, I really despise doing stuff like that. I should have taken my shoes off, like a lot of the people in our family do. But I happened just to leave them on at the wrong time. You know, and I always watch where I'm stepping. But what if I went back the next day and did the exact same thing? You say, man, you didn't learn your lesson. You know, I had to spend nearly half an hour scrub, 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 scrub. You know, you think you would learn a lesson after that, and I did. I'm trying to take off my shoes now. My wife tells me I shouldn't, and she marvels that I don't, because I lived in the Orient for about 7 years, and they always take off their shoes when they go in somewhere. You know, I lost that habit somehow. Where am I going with this? Well, if I keep stepping in that mess in the yard and keep tracking through the house, I am not learning my lesson. This text reminds me of that. It says, when you have been set free by Christ, don't go step in that old mess again. You know, why do that? And how do we do that? We go back to the old habits. Maybe you start watching whatever it is that got you in trouble in the first place. Read or listen to, whatever it is. Go back to those old friends. You know, when people get out of jail, they're told, don't go back to your old friends. Make new friends, new habits. We should do that as Christians. We need to live a life free in Christ. Don't go back to the old, messy life. In Hebrews chapter 11, you know that's the famous, the heroes chapter. If you look at that at all, it's a wonderful chapter to read, and you think, wow, these guys are something. You know, how did they live a life like that? They were all common, by the way. They all lived lives that we can live today. But chapter 12, after chapter 11, enlisting all these people, listen to what chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says. Chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 of Hebrews. Hebrews is a little harder to find because it's stuck back a little bit further in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Now just remember, he had listed all these heroes of faith. He says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. That's all those people in chapter 11. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he's now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking where? Unto Jesus. Keep looking to Jesus. That's your answer, folks. Don't step back in the old mess you just got yourself out of, or God got you out of it. Keep reading the Bible. It's full of stories of people of faith. And these were all humans. They weren't superhumans unless you consider they were connected with God. That makes you superhuman. And anybody here can be superhuman. So I challenge you to be superhuman. If you feel like your faith is slipping, keep looking to Jesus. Maybe you should pray that prayer in Psalm 51, verse 12. Psalm 51, verse 12. This is a prayer to God. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your generous, yes, and another translation says free spirit. You know, obviously the joy of salvation has slipped from this psalmist. He says, Lord, I need that joy again. How's your Christian walk today, folks? Is it full of joy? Are you excited to be alive? When you wake up, say, Lord, what do you have in store today? Let's go through this day together. We should have the joy of salvation. Now, there are some days you just have to kind of plow through with God's help, right? You get up on the wrong side of the bed, but you should not stay there, right? God can help you through. You keep smiling. By the way, smiling does help. It really does. I remember when I was one of the churches we were looking to build or find a new place to worship. They were worshiping in a little house. And one of the places we went to was a telemarketing place. Now, how many here love telemarketers? They're about the level of IRS with me, you know. I don't like taxes. I hated to remind you, but July 15th is coming up. Taxes are due. Now, maybe that's why it's in my mind. But we were going through this place. It was a telemarketing place. It was empty. In one of the booths, it said, smile. Now, telemarketers do what? You don't see them, right? You just hear them. Why smile? Believe it or not, and it's been proven to be true, that when you smile, it raises your voice. They can tell a difference. And I have to do that sometimes when I'm talking. I'm like, hi, oh, hi, you know, you get happier for some reason. It reflects back on you. You know, God wants us to be joyful. Sometimes we have to plow through the day, it may seem. But put on the act. Some say, well, I don't want to act. Well, when you act positive, It reacts on you. You become more positive. You know, we should always be thankful that God is in heaven. He's on his throne. He loves us. He cares for us. He's coming back through his son, Jesus Christ. These are exciting things. Just reflect back on that. That should lift you up. God can uphold each of us with his free or generous spirit if we ask him to. Over the last couple of years, one tax company has been running, and I haven't seen it this year, but they ran this ad that I found very interesting. They ran at least four or five of them. They only used one word, and if I start saying it, you'll probably recognize it. And it sounds like they're actually talking, but really it's just one word. So they'll start out like free, 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 free. Yep, you remember that? It was TurboTax. It was quite ingenious, you know, a way of adding one word and making a statement out of it. And I listened carefully as they were doing that. It's like there has to be another word in there. But no, it's straight out free, 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 free. And the other one's like free, 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 free. You think, what? Well, that's what Christ really is saying to us. Free. You can be free indeed. You know, that's just the big word. And free in Christ Jesus. I believe they were onto something at TurboTax. We as Christians need to realize we have been freed. On the cross, Christ paid the price, did he not? For us to be free, but sometimes we're just stuck in that mud or that pile of stuff that we don't need to be in because we forget that we have been freed indeed. You know, the struggle with sin is real. I'm not going to lie to you. It is there. But more real than that is Jesus Christ. If we keep our eyes on him, he will give us freedom. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7, if you'll turn there with me, Romans chapter 7. You know, he realized the struggle with sin. It was very real. It still is today. So take heart from what he says here. Now, I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. I don't know if you've ever heard of that one, but I think you'll appreciate it. It's Romans 7, beginning with verse 14. Romans 7, beginning with verse 14. Now I'm going to read through 25. So, the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. So, there's trouble, right? What is the trouble? It was he kept falling back into sin. He says, I got this struggle in his mind, in his heart. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Anybody ever been there, done that? Yeah. I do what I hate instead. But if I know that what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It's sin in me that's doing it. Verse 18. And I know that nothing good lives in me. That is my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing the wrong. It is sin living in me. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. Have anybody ever done that? Yeah, okay. Maybe I can ask you when you set your meal before you, say, okay, now I'm going to behave myself when I eat. You know, there are different ways that we can slip and fall. So I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am, it says. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Aren't you glad he didn't stop there? The next verse is the answer. Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, it's a very simple answer to everything is Jesus Christ. You know, if we keep turning to him, that's the answer. I hope this message is clear to you today. If nothing else, when you go home, you think, you know what? All I need is Jesus. That's all I need. Keep turning to Jesus. Look at the cross. You know, the highest place a Christian can reach is at the foot of the cross. Did you know that? If you want to raise yourself up higher and higher, Go to the foot of the cross. That's the best place to be. John 8. Let's go there. John chapter 8, beginning with verse 31. John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed." So where do we need to continue? Keep going to God's word, right? Don't give up. This is where we find Jesus. You know, the world's trying to give us another picture. One on one side, one on the other. Christ is very balanced. We need to go to his word and find out what he's like. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. By the way, if you flip that around, if I don't continue in God's word, if I don't study, if I don't have my devotions, can I truly be a disciple of Christ? According to this text, no. Because I'm not linked in. I'm not connected. I need to be in his word, which is, he's in this word. In verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Doesn't that sound like today's text? It is. Now we're reading the context of the text. Verse 33, they answered him, "We're Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage to anyone. So how do you say, you shall be made free?" Now these are the Israelites. They're kind of like puffed up, like, "What? What? Wait, we're free, man. What are you talking about? You know, I can trace my line back to Abraham." Verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whoever commits sin is a servant of sin." Verse 35, "And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the Son abides forever." And here's a clincher, verse 36, "If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." He's repeating this, just in case you missed it the first time. This text says that if we know the truth and it leads us to Christ, we are free. Nobody can enslave us. They can throw you in jail for practicing the religion that God has given you. Guess what? You're still free. It doesn't matter. A few chapters later in the same book, Jesus makes it clear where truth is founded. John 14, verse 6. John 14, verse 6. And Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You know, as we come to God's word, we're finding Jesus the truth. That should be our focus. This truth, we must focus on it daily. You know, how many here eat every day? You can look at me. You can tell I eat every day. I don't miss a meal very often. You know, but when it comes to God's word, sometimes it's either feast or famine. "Oh, yeah, I've got some time now." And then a few days later, "Oh, wait a minute, I forgot to read my Bible." By the way, we're not only to read it, we are to study it. Don't just read the Bible, study, dig in. We need God's word, which leads us to the truth, which leads us to Christ. Do you remember that famous text in Romans 6:23? You can probably say it. I was really impressed when they were quoting John 3:16 earlier. That was good. Romans 3:23. Well, let's look at the context of that, the wages of sin and all that. Paul was talking about freedom from sin. Let's start with verse 6 of chapter, 16. Romans 6:16. Romans 6:16. "Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves to servants to, you obey them? His servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which we delivered unto you." So there was a change in their lives. "Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness and to holiness. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness." Now there is a freedom when you're living the life of sin. It's like, "Oh, I don't have to keep those laws and all that." but then you're put in bondage in another way, in a worse way. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof now you're ashamed? For the end of those things is death. You know, nobody purposely, I believe, wants to die. I mean, I know sometimes we go through difficult times. Yeah. But why purposely choose to die? When we follow sin, we're saying, tick, I want to die. You know, that the wages of sin is death, right? And we're getting to that verse where it says that. But now, being made free from sin and become servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. And now he summarizes it very succinctly here. For the wages of sin is, come on, you know it, folks. What is it? Death. What if there was a period at the end of that remark right there? You'd be like, oh, man, yeah, the wages of sin is death. But, wait, don't stop listening. But, it goes on to say, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All of us receive wages. Now, I know during this COVID, some of you may not have gotten some wages, and it may have been difficult. But we are all going to be receiving wages if we don't receive the gift. You have a choice. Wages, gift. How many here like gifts? I love gifts. You know, even at my age, which is, I'll be 59 next month. You know, I can't believe it. Wow. But you know what? I still like gifts. You know, the ones I really like are those handmade ones the kids make sometimes. Those are the best. And I've got a file full of those kind of things. God wants to give us a gift. But we're sometimes bent on getting the wages. I deserve this. I don't want death. I know you don't either. We don't want those around us, our neighbors, our friends, our family. We don't want them to have that death. But they're earning that. And if they don't know about Jesus Christ, they don't know about that gift. And who can tell them? Jesus says, go ye into all the world. We're all to tell others about Jesus. We each have a choice about who we yield to. Is sin and Satan or righteousness and God? That's a choice we can make. It is far better to receive God's gift than to receive the wages of sin, which ends up being death. I'd much rather have eternal life, especially if it's going to be with Jesus Christ. Two chapters later in Romans, Paul goes on to talk about being in Christ. What does that mean? Romans 8, verses 1 to 4. Romans 8, verses 1 to 4. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the what?
Spirit.
We can't let the Spirit guide us. Don't walk after the natural man of sin. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son into the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see Christ being lifted up here again. We need to draw close to him, and he'll help us to walk like he walked. How is your walk today? Is it strong in the Lord? It can be. Every day we have that choice. Am I going to take the wages? I'm going to get the gift. Go for the gift, folks. Go for the gift. You know, as a nation, our forefathers put all on the line. Some of them lost their lives. They lost their fortunes to buy us freedom that we live in today. You know, we are a free country, and it's amazing. If you traveled anywhere, watch any documentaries of different nations, we have it good here, folks. But it cost. It cost our forefathers. But there was a greater cost for our spiritual freedom. Did you know that? I'm sure you did. It cost the Son of God, his life. Was that John 3:16? For God so loved the world. Come on, kids, help me out. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave him to die on the cross for me. You know, the Declaration of Independence reads, all men are created equal, and there are certain unalienable rights that governments should never violate. These rights include the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That sounds like the Bible, does it not? That's what God wants to give us. You know, as Christians, we have our freedom. It costs Jesus, but it's free to us. So I hope you're experiencing God's freedom. We are not born free except to sin, but we can be made free from sin with God's help through the Holy Spirit. Let me read this again. We are not born free, right? We are all sinners, the Bible says. All of us, you know, all of us are, except to sin. We can be made free from sin with God's help through His Spirit. Do you want to experience true freedom? Come to Jesus. Seek Him in His Word daily. God's goal is for us to be back together with Him in heaven. He's got a place there, remember? God's gone to prepare a place. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. That where He is, there we can be also. I'm looking forward to that place. In closing, I want to share one more text with you. Joshua 24:15. Joshua, who is a leader in one of the early leaders in Israel, he made a call to the Israelites. He said, okay, this was a turning point in their lives. They could go one way or the other, and he challenged them. Joshua 24:15. We have a choice to make. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve what? Who? The Lord. Who will you serve today? It depends on how you live, the choices you make. When you wake up in the morning, say, Lord, I'm serving you today. Help me stay focused on you. Stay focused on Christ. Spend time in the Bible and His Word. And that's where you're going to find true freedom. The freedom that will last throughout eternity. I am thankful that we live in the land of the free, Amen. But I want to live in the heaven of the free someday soon, don't you? Amen. So I'm looking forward to that day. Now let's encourage each other and others around us. Don't keep the good news to yourself. Let others know. In closing, I want us to sing a hymn together, hymn number 309. I surrender, not some, not most, I surrender all. Let's turn there. Hymn number 309. Make this your prayer.